Growth stories, life lessons, turning points, service to others, truth, no bullshit. Adding value, no smoke and mirrors, being the pressure, third down and 10, win or learn, always the underdog with a chip on your shoulder. These are the things that I think about when I talk to this group. From Service Academy fleet leaders, NFL players, NASCAR drivers, tech gurus, private equity, small business, big business, to the entrepreneurs making the way of the future, winning at all costs with uncompromised integrity, paying the price of admission. Let's go. All right. Today, we got Andre Bird, also known as Dre or Birdman. Navy football class of 2011, senior season of 10, 1 year behind me. I was reflecting on that earlier today. I was like, no, he was 2 years behind us. Feels like I'm getting old, man. ABAC, currently a naval officer stationed in Naval Station Norfolk in Newport News, Virginia. Grew up in Jax, went to the bowl school, like my fellow CTE headbanging buddy Clint Sovey, back from episode number 5, Birdman has a foundation in systems and mechanical engineering, like a degree in that, from the Naval Academy, and degrees at Post Naval Graduate School. Also a Master of Arts in Pastoral Counseling at Regent University. Audrey's career has spanned roles from surface warfare to engineering duty officer. Beyond those naval duties, he's a passionate musician, and I love that. You know, there's more to that I think we'll get into in the story, but got a home studio, tune music, videos on YouTube, and you're an avid consumer of leadership and development audiobooks. Same here too. So on both of those occasions, like it. You're an entrepreneur. You founded an LLC called Courageous Families LLC to support marriages and parenting. Right?
Right.
That whole Courageous Families LLC thing, you know, I don't think you could get that done without, you know, your partner in crime, you know, your partner in this thing with Shamika, right? Your wife, not only doing that, but building a family of 6 children. Got that right? 6 children. And church activities, also building your presence as a content creator and blogging and doing the YouTube thing. I'm learning the YouTube thing as well right now. So it's been kind of fun. All of that, there's a balancing act, which I think we'll get into as well at some point. But it's a fun one to try and learn and understand, I think, for folks like us. This one will be a good one for me, so I can understand how you do it. So thank you for getting on today.
Thanks for having me.
Dude, it's going to be good. Some memories. So I got this group text from my class. We always, you know, post belligerent stuff on there or informing stuff. And, but I was like, hey guys, I'm getting Andre Bird on. And, a lot of them were like, guy was quiet, you know, pretty reserved. But the guy was solid and, dependable. That he was always observing. Actually, you know, every now and then I get on a phone call with Austin Mielke, you know, episode number 2 guy, about whatever. And I was talking to him on the way home today. He repeated the exact same things as, you know, I remember him, you know, being quiet, but a solid dude, and looking forward to the episode. So. Another guy, a guy that you were kind of closer to, I think, during that time, at Navy was Travez Bush, right? He said, when I think about Andre Bird, one of the first words that come to mind is vulnerability. he was probably the first person that I was close to that was able to see true vulnerability from him. He was afraid to share his story from the past, where he was and where he wanted to be. As a 19 and 20 year old, trying to figure out myself, that was very encouraging for me to see. I have a really good appreciation for the relationship that we were able to build, which basically started for me and Gigi going to church with him on Sundays during our first 2 years at the academy. And during that time, I was, trying to figure myself out. He was one of the key people who helped me get closer to Christ, and I'll always remember him for that. He never let any differences get in the way of building and having relationships with anybody. He's the type of person that's, going to ask a lot of questions because he really cares and wants to know people's story. But he'd also, call you out if you're BSing him. And I love that, me personally. So that's good. Last thing that, Trevez said was, I've never told him of my appreciation, but I just wanted to end by saying thank you, Bird, for our friendship and always being authentically you. So.
Oh, I appreciate that from Trevez. He's just a solid dude. Him and Gigi, both South Carolina boys, very talented on the field and just solid dudes off the field. We all got baptized together actually in the church back when I was in, we were at the academy together. So that was an experience that we shared together.
And
I haven't been able to really keep in contact with him since I graduated, but he's just a really solid dude. So I appreciate those words from him.
Awesome. Well, man, this is where I turn over to you to tell your story. I'm super pumped. I like the music. I like the creator. I like the YouTube because I'm just trying to dabble into that. So, tell us your story and take as far back as you want to go.
Okay. All right. I'll appreciate that. I guess I'll start real quickly. Born in Jacksonville, Florida. Me and my wife were actually from the same area. So born in Jacksonville, Florida, I started playing football at around 7 years old. I was always small, but always quick. As soon as I hit the football field, I was, an instant star. My parents played sports. My dad played basketball at Howard University. So that sports ran in our family. Met my wife to be in middle school, playing track together, running track together. She's quick. She's fast. I'm quick and I'm fast. And our children are, I expect them to be pretty quick and fast as well. So, and that's what we've seen so far. Fast forward to high school and fast forward to junior year. Like you were saying earlier, I went to the bowl school, very prestigious school in Jacksonville, Florida, when it comes to football specifically.
And yeah, a couple state championships, right?
And right. I mean, yeah, like we won a couple.
I'm not from Florida.
So,
so that's why I asked, like a lot of people that listen to this, they're not from Florida. So if you're from the bowls and you're usually used to winning championships, like we don't know. So, but like you were there, had a couple of them, right?
Yeah. One, sophomore year and senior year. So funny story about, or not funny, interesting story about senior year. It went into triple overtime, the state championship game down in Miami, Florida. Went into triple overtime, and I scored the winning touchdown, walk-off touchdown in triple overtime. So that was a good story or interesting story about me in high school. So it was a good time.
That's good. That's a good playmaker story.
Yeah. So I think the school has won about 6, 7, or 8 total championships total. So a great legacy. Really?
So you have two. So that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Navy. So, Navy recruits very much out of Jacksonville and out of the bowl school. So I met Ivan Jasper He came down and recruited me back in junior year. And at that time, I didn't know anything about Navy or the military at all. So when he came down junior year, you know, asking if I was interested, I said, no, I'm not really interested. But then I, senior year,
hey, there's that, I didn't have there's that transparent vulnerability right there.
Right. I was like, I don't know what this is or what Navy is. I'm not really interested. But then senior year came and I only had one other offer, or really one other school interested, and that was Bucknell. And, you know, my priority was to get to college and not pay for college. So I was much more open to it. So, you know, we met with my mom in our house. We took a visit, and, you know, that was the end of the story from there. Came to Navy. Awesome. Yep, came to Navy and just not knowing what to expect, but jumped into a different, you know, a different type of environment, and plebe summer and plebe year. And yeah, I just say we had an interesting 4 years. I will say that football.
You came straight in. Like, tell me more about how that experience was. Like, when you came into Navy, you probably thought one thing before you actually got there, and then you did that in doc, and
yeah,
you know,
but
what do you remember about that? Like, those are fun.
Yeah, you know, you know how they get you on the recruiting trips. I assume you took a recruiting trip, so you know, they take you to this nice steak dinner restaurant. They show you all the nice things, but kind of minimize what.
No, it's not minimized. Let's be transparent. Let's avoid.
Right. Let's not talk about it at all. Yeah. So, yeah, I came in direct because my mom didn't want me. Coach Jasper wanted me to go to NAPS, but my mom was like, he's not going. He's not spending more time in college than he needs to. So because of her, I went in direct. And
nice. Not pulled that card. Jasper listened.
Yeah. Like it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Not knowing what to expect, I came in. Now, shaved my head the first day. I probably didn't have a lot of hair anyway, but they shaved my hair the first day. Shaved my beard and my mustache, which is what I really was missing. And then, you know, getting yelled at for the next 6 weeks and plebe summer. Nice. So it was an adjustment. But that football, you know, for us, at least for me, was a safe haven, being around the guys who are like-minded, being around people who appreciate the sport and who want to continue their career and want to, you know, be challenged at the highest levels. So that was a safe haven freshman year and throughout. So I really enjoyed the guys in the locker room. Like you were saying, I'm a little reserved. It takes a while to get to know me, which is part of the reason
you're making rap videos now. On YouTube.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Reserve? Yeah, that's
right. That's my space where I can just be creative. I can be myself and nobody's around to interrupt me when I'm talking, you know, when I'm in the studio or when I'm doing a YouTube video, there's no one around to interrupt and I can just be myself. So that's more about.
No, I got you there. I'm just busting your chops. I enjoy it as well. So.
Yeah. 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 You know, it's really cool. I graduated. I'll say my Navy football career, it was, I don't know, my perception about myself going into Navy was that there was a lot of hype around me in the HVAC room. A lot of people were comparing me to the legend, Reggie Campbell. Just, I guess,
who's probably got
similar sizes.
I'm right. Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Right. So I would say from based off my expectations of myself, kind of had a lackluster Navy career, football career. I did score that one touchdown my senior year, but I mostly did not live up to my own potential, and maybe talk about that at another time, but mostly didn't live up to my own potential. And then, but
well, we can talk about it now. We can go into that now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I haven't processed it yet, but let me just say a couple things about it.
I got going you.
I'll just say this: going into sophomore year, you know, freshman year I wasn't playing because you had Reggie, You have Zerb, you had Shun, White.
Yeah.
So
they're ballers.
You know, not playing. Yeah. Yeah. You're not playing. I'm not playing freshman year. Going into sophomore year, it was me and Shun starting on the depth chart, but I got injured in camp. And I was never the same. I hurt my leg. I got like a hip drop tackle. Somebody tackled me and rolled up on my leg during one of those drills. And, I really just never felt the same that whole year. So that year was down the toilet. And then, junior year, I don't know what happened. And then senior year, I finally, you know, came into my own, but, I came into my own junior or senior year, and I contributed to the team, my senior year. So I would have expected more of my, you know, I feel like I could have given more. And if I could go back, I would, do whatever I needed to do to keep a killer instinct. Cause you know, like, for us who are, you're not as undersized as I am. I'm, you know, for everybody who's looking, watching, I'm 5'5" out of 155 pounds.
Yeah. Andre was like the probably smallest A back we had, right? But super fast, right? Then got injured.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
It's funny how an injury, sorry to cut you off, but there's this theme throughout this cast that I got to touch on is injury. And it sucks. But there's this special like ingenuity about an injury that, with someone that gets an injury with that kind of drive, that mental fortitude, that perseverance, like there's a different kind of outcome after the injury, at least in my mind. Make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just something that, you know, I think is cool, but.
I agree. Yeah. You're overcoming the struggles, you know, struggles of life.
So
my sophomore year, it was not diagnosed. So all I know is I got rolled up on my leg and it felt like it was diagnosed as a bone bruise. And that may be what it was, but all I know is I did not feel the same the rest of that year. I was out immediately for like 6 weeks. And then when I came back, I was just not the same that year.
Not the same.
So yeah. It might've been a high ankle sprain. I don't know what it was, honestly.
Did you ever get it back to like full potential, you think, or?
I think by the time junior year rolled around, I got it back to full potential. I had a hamstring. I pulled my hamstring junior year in camp, and then I pulled my hamstring again senior year in camp. But I was able to get back before the first game. So
there you go.
Oh, just some injuries.
Gotcha. I got to touch on that because you know there are times when I'm like, oh, that's something that's come up a few times. Let's go a little bit deeper and understand more. Like that was one of them. So,
yeah.
Well, cool. Keep on going.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. So graduated and I got married a week later to, Shamika, my wife, the girl I knew from middle school, from the seventh grade. We never really dated until college. We dated for a couple years in college, got married. Right after college and had our first child within the first year. So right before I became a service warfare officer and we had our first child like a month before, our first anniversary and a month before, my first deployment or really my only deployment. So that was an interesting thing. I know we were talking about Drexel earlier. I remember
10 kids.
Right. I remember he got started fast with kids. I remember he graduated a couple years before I did. And by the time I graduated, he already had a few kids. And I was thinking like, I would never,
look at you
now. Yes. That early. So. Right. And now I have, So it's funny how things work. Sure. So a surface warfare officer on a destroyer, force protection officer, tough tour. I mean, they run you. It's a tough tour. As a force protection officer and gunnery officer, but I learned a lot. My second tour was on a patrol craft, a smaller ship, like only 22 people. And I was like the executive officer. It was an unconventional tour. So I was the second in charge,
Nice.
and that was
That one
a
sounds
very
fun.
rewarding tour. Yeah, it was a very rewarding tour. We didn't get a lot of sea time, but it was a very rewarding tour because I had the ability to influence in a greater way. So
Awesome.
that was cool. Lateral transferred over to engineer and duty officer, where they that track allows you to get your, or you're mandated to get your degree, a technical degree from either Naval Postgraduate School or MIT. So I got my degree from Naval Postgraduate School, mechanical engineering. And that was a great time, 2 years in Monterey. By that time, we had three kids. We had our fourth child in Monterey. Came back over here, did a couple more tours. And then I got my degree in pastoral counseling on the side because people were saying that I had a disposition to, I was a good listener. In other words, people were coming confiding me about things, and they were saying you had a good, disposition for counseling. So I wanted to operate in that space and get formal training in that space. So I went and got my degree in pastoral counseling. I wanted it to have a biblical perspective, so I got it from Regent University. And then from that, I was exposed to people who were doing a lot of great things at the same time. I was exposed to professors who was a teacher and a pastor and like a coach, and a public speaker, and had all these different jobs, and I had a family. So I was exposed to some people to open up my mind to the possibilities of what can be done and the limits of what is possible. So after I graduated, I was like, I want to put my degree to work. And so I went and started my company, Courageous Families LLC. Like you were saying, supporting marriages and supporting parents, because I feel like I'm looking at society, I'm looking at my neighborhood, and I feel like it's very needed. Parents, marriages, and families need that support, and I want to be able to help people in that way. So I started that. That was only 6 months ago. So I'm still working through it. And as I'm going through it, I realized as I as soon as I started that, as soon as I did my LLC, my mindset switched. Now I'm switching to the mindset of an entrepreneur. And then I started to see the possibilities of, hey, let me, I not only love marriages and family, but I also am very passionate about leadership. I like talking about leadership, and I like reading about leadership. So let me start a YouTube channel, or find a way to get my voice out, where I can start to impact from a leadership perspective. So that's why I started my YouTube channel and really kind
What kind of
of
audio
grow my
books are you
personal
listening
brand.
to? What's on your what's on your podcast list? What are you listening to?
I listen to a lot of audio. I have a 45-minute commute to and from work, so I just utilize that time to listen to
Yeah, I do the same
audiobooks.
thing.
So what I've been listening to lately are a lot of books from John Maxwell. So he has a book called The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, where he talks about these 21 areas where a leader needs to be great at these 21 areas to be the most effective leader. And he says, like, every leader can't be great in all 21 areas, but that's where you find people who help you in your organization to supplement what you are lacking in certain areas. Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Steve Covey. That might be something that a lot of people know as an amazing book. The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss is one for like the entrepreneur mindset, or somebody who wants to break out of corporate America and to start their own business and to start their own business. That's a great one that expanded my mind. And I'll say the Atomic Habits by James Clear. That's a great one, and he breaks down like the four laws of behavior change and like what you need to do to institute a habit in your life that's going to serve you. So I've learned a lot from those guys, and those are the kind of the four books that are on the top of my mind right now.
Gotcha. Cool. I had to ask, so awesome. Keep going.
Let's see what else. I w oh yeah so yeah started, you know, the first 6 months of my LLC. Let me get back to, first 6 months of my LLC. So basically my goal is, in my Navy career, I'm still in the Navy. My goal is to probably finish out my career in the Navy. There are some days where I'm like, I'm in the middle management area now. I'm a lieutenant commander, where there are some days where I see like the higher ups and I see the leadership direction of what is going on. And I do get a little disillusioned with how do I really make an impact when I see that there's a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of.
Dude, we could do a total podcast on direction. That, just you and me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I hear you.
So, there are those days where I get that, but I think I'm 12 in. I think I'm gonna do my 20 because I'm no longer doing deployment. So it is at this time in my life, the Navy is family friendly for me. So
gotcha.
So my goal with my LLC and the goal with my company is to, by the time I'm 20 years in, by the time I'm ready to retire, to build up the company to the point where it's able to support my family without me having to go back into corporate America once I retire. So that's my goal and that's my aim. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Good aim. Man, that's the entire story. You don't have anything else you want to share?
Let me, there's some things I can share. So if you mentioned the music videos, or you mentioned music. So I got into rapping. I've always enjoyed rapping hip hop. But in 2020, you know, when everybody went home and teleworked, I did the same thing, and I finally found myself with more time. I found myself with more time. So the idea came into my head I told my wife, hey, there was an unfinished part of the attic, and I got a vision in my head for what I wanted to do. So I turned that into a music studio. So me and my family worked together to, you know, I had never done anything like this, but I, you know, laying down the floors, laying, you know, the drywall and all this stuff. And, you know, because I never did it before, there was a lot of rework, but it was a great project that we did together as a family. My wife was 6 months pregnant at the time, and she was over there painting with me. So
it looks good. I like the guitar. So you play the guitar?
No, my wife has a guitar that she does, hasn't played that much, but yeah, she has that guitar. And
we need to do it
as well. So, dude,
like at some point, maybe we do a collab on a music video. I'm not joking. I like music too. So, and I can play. I can't sing. If it wasn't for that, I would make a music video. But really cool.
Yeah. So now I don't have that studio anymore because we moved. We moved that next year, so I left my studio. That's why I'm not in the studio right now. I'm in my closet at our new house. But
gotcha.
Yeah, I made a couple of songs once I was able to do the studio. Then I enjoy making beats. I enjoy rapping over the beats. I enjoy the whole process, the editing process. I enjoy the whole process. So I was able to make a couple songs back in 21, 22 time frame. The first one was Goodbye 2020. It was basically a celebration of, you know, coming out of COVID, or we were trying to come out of COVID. It was 2021, things were taking a turn. So it was really like a celebration of that and a remembrance of some of the issues we went through, losing family members and things of that nature. I addressed some of those in that song, but it's kind of a hopeful looking at what the future will hold. And then I have a song that we released in 2022 called Strong, and it's in commemoration of our son, our second child, Jordan, who was diagnosed with autism at the age of 2. And he's 10 years old now, and that song came out of a place where I was just not, at that time, I was, life as a special needs parent, I was feeling it. And then it was too sad, so I rewrote it. I rewrote it and released it about 6 months later after that, and had a more hopeful tone to it, because although we have gone through a lot of issues, just they're not being a roadmap for those special needs parents.
Yeah.
And you know, trying to find the support here, trying to do the, you know, get to all the therapies and trying to figure out why this even happened in the first place. Although we went through all that, like we've gotten through most of that, and though he's happy now, he was happy throughout the whole time. Actually, he's a happy child. He's a healthy child. We
actually,
love
him. I watched that video today, and it was pretty awesome. I got some goosebumps when I was watching it.
Yeah.
When you're going through that and you're thinking about what could cause this, any findings with that, or is it just kind of like, you know, just happens?
Freak chance. And he was diagnosed with intellectual disability at the time. They said he's diagnosed with intellectual disability and he will develop autism in time. So
gotcha.
We spent the next, the next year or so or two going into those rabbit holes of what could it be? Is it, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever you want, you know. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, one of my key takeaways from life so far in my path is don't let words define meaning, right? I'm interested in that just because out of personal curiosity, but man, there's so many other people in the world dealing with the same stuff, and I can't even relate to it. But from when I watched that video, I was thinking, all right, Andre's on the right path. Like, he's doing good things. He's focused on the right stuff. So it was encouraging to me.
That mean? Yeah, and you know, Trevez, I just want to say, Trevez mentioned vulnerability. I wrote that song out of a state of vulnerability. I wanted to be vulnerable for those who are going through the same, who are going and have experienced some of the same situations that I have experienced, me and my family have experienced. Because one of the things the doctor said was 90%, 9 out of 10 marriages fail when they realize they have a special needs child. So it can be taxing. It can be taxing, and I wanted to make a space where I can be vulnerable, and hopefully it will allow other people to be vulnerable as well with what they're going through. And then hopefully for people who don't have that situation but know people who have that situation, that they could provide a safe space for somebody to be just honest and real about what they're going through and not have to put on like that fake face. So yeah,
no doubt. It's awesome. Well, cool. You have another son that wrote his own book, right?
Yep.
Tell us more about that.
Yes.
It's on Amazon, right?
It is. Yes. So my son, our oldest is 11 years old. Our youngest is 1 year old. Our oldest, Emmanuel, just published his first children's comic book last week or a week and a half ago, called The Adventures of Pencilton. And the way that that came about is I saw him like a couple months back. He's a creative person. He's just a very smart and creative, you know, child. I saw him.
Wonder where he gets
write this book. Yeah. So maybe a little bit rubbed off. Yeah. So he wrote this book with just this printer paper and stapled it together, stapled the papers together. And it was just this full book. And I'm like, this is a pretty good story. Why don't you? I challenged him. Okay. Now let's make it into a real book that you can monetize. And he enjoys money because you can get toys. So he stepped up to that challenge, and it took him about a couple months, but he used Canva to make all the illustrations and just work together with it.
Nice.
And
maybe he could teach me something about Canva. I'm just starting to dabble into that too.
Yeah, by the time he was done with Canva, because he didn't know he had no prior experience with Canva, but that just shows you what anybody is able to do when they have that motivation and they have that practice. Like, he's like an expert in Canva now. And what I learned from that was, like, I think we're just, for my kids, I know, and probably kids in general, we underestimate what they can do. Like, we underestimate the things that they can accomplish. And I just want to be able to, for him, I want to be able to show him, hey, like, you don't have to wait until you're 18, 19, 20 to get your ideas and your thoughts out there and to monetize it or to be a business person. Like, you don't have to wait. You can do it right now. So
yeah, don't ask for permission. Ask for forgiveness.
Right.
I like it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. So you've got 7 years left in the Navy.
Yep.
What keeps you in? What keeps you there? What, like, why? Yep. Have you ever had that itch to jump over and to civilian world? Like, mm-hmm. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. Back a couple years back, I will say this. I'm thankful that out of the academy, I was able to serve select as a lateral transfer to an engineering duty officer. If I had stayed swole, it would not have been compatible with my family life, and I would have gotten out. But because my path was to do my two SWOT tours and then lateral transfer over, it helped me to have that compatibility between working and family life. But there was a couple times. One time, a few years back, I was kind of considering it. This was probably, I had about 8 years in. And I was considering it. I started my LinkedIn up account, and I was really considering it, but I decided to stay in. One, because the Navy's been good to me in regards to the benefits, like the GI Bill benefits. I've been able to transfer those benefits to my family, and I've been able to get master's degrees and stuff like that. So the benefits is one. Secondly, it's also, in a way, it's the mission as well. On a smaller scale, it's the mission. It's being able to impact on my scale. The mission of getting the ships out. Like, I'm an engineering duty officer. We fix ships at my current command. We fix ships. So I see the ships that we're working on, and I see them out in the fight, out in the Red Sea, out in the Eastern Mediterranean, out doing the mission of our nation's tasking. And that it's rewarding to be able to see your work translate into the ships operating effectively in the world's greatest Navy. So there is a reward in that as well. So
yeah, man, I need to introduce you to a guy I just had on here, one of the latest episodes, Jake Lunday, that I worked with in the civilian side in manufacturing. He's an engineering duty officer in the Navy reserve.
Okay.
I'm telling you, that'll be a good connect.
All right. Great. Sounds good.
Mentor. You got a good mentor?
No.
Not at all?
So I will say this. I believe wholeheartedly in mentorship, and I believe that there's someone who's already done what you're trying to do. In most cases.
Sure.
Someone that's already done what you're trying to do.
So have you never sought out someone that you're trying to do?
I came to that realization about a few months ago. it's a weakness that I am trying to rectify.
I got you.
I've always been a person that, like, I can do it. But really, you need mentorship to get where you need to go as fast as possible. I do have somebody on the Navy side that's kind of a mentor. I asked him for some advice this past week about, hey, it's a job opportunity in the D.C. area. What do you think about it? And he just said, like, from my experience, like, you don't want to do that job opportunity. And I heeded his advice. So that's the benefits of mentorship for me. I'm just scratching the surface of mentorship. So I'll be on the lookout for many more mentors. So, yeah.
Dude, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, like, that's, like, probably number three priority in my life is, like, I'm always seeking mentors. Like, another reason for doing this podcast is, like, I'm always seeking mentors. I want to know the next step and, you know, all that. Keep doing that.
I think when I put on my entrepreneur hat, I realized that I'm treading in some water that I just have never been in before. And mentorship is just invaluable. So I want to do that, and I want to be, you know, I want to be a mentor for many other people as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know you're already being a mentor for other people, but it doesn't mean you can't like reach out to somebody else and ask for mentorship while you're doing that. So, right. Yeah, man. How about a biggest professional accomplishment for you? What was that?
Biggest professional accomplishment. I would say on the Navy side. Well, I just say, I'm just going to go to the entrepreneur side. I'll say on the Navy side, I've done my tours. I'm continuing to do my tours and, you know, I'm in my mind excelling. And it's just going from tour to tour to tour, get my NAM, Navy Achievement Medals, and so forth and so on.
Yep.
I would say on the side hustle side, I think the greatest accomplishment is just starting. I think
when you said that, your light, your face just lit up. Like I could see it. Like,
yeah.
And throughout our conversation, you keep going back to this entrepreneurial start. You know, just a few months ago, I'm like, dude, you're on the right path. Like, your greatest accomplishment is what you're doing now. Right?
Absolutely. That's my passion.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's my passion. And I'm so excited about it. Yeah. That's my passion.
Yeah. Man, I'm here to celebrate with you. So forgive me for getting all excited, but that was fun.
I appreciate it.
Let's flip the script. Biggest failure. Do you have a biggest failure? So because I'm always interested in learning in the biggest failure.
Right.
Because not a lot of people want to talk about that. So.
Right. Yeah, I can go into a lot of things, but I think what I want to go into is a decision that I made. So from this is to me is a leadership perspective, from a family perspective. I told you that I left, we moved places in 2021 and I no longer have a studio. The reason that we moved is because we moved out of a sense of calling and duty to help build the community, build our society. So we moved into a low income neighborhood. So we left all the comfort in our regular neighborhood, moved into a low income neighborhood because we just felt we were called to do that. The problem was I didn't keep the end in mind. I didn't have enough clarity.
That's some coveting right there.
I didn't have enough clarity and I didn't keep the end in mind to understand how am I going to help the community? How am I going to serve the community? So as a result of that, I didn't keep everything. We moved into a house that we wanted, but we overlooked a lot of issues with the house. And we didn't understand that if your house is messed up, it's going to prevent you from serving the community because you're going to spend a lot of time on repairs. So we spent about like over a 2-year period, we spent about $80,000 on repairs on this house. Crawl space repairs. Roof repairs. So it was the repair part. And it was also because of those repairs, there were issues inside the house, rodent issues inside the house. So my son, some of this stuff is funny as I look back on it, but my son, he woke up one day and stepped on a mouse. Like he stepped on a mouse and like killed it.
You get a salt gun yet? You ever heard of those?
No.
Salt gun? Oh, yeah. Get you a salt gun.
Okay. Salt gun. Okay.
Yeah.
So we fixed the rodent issues, but I can talk about that all day. Like, stepped on a mouse. One day, the ceiling fan literally fell out the ceiling in the house one day. The house was historically bad workmanship, and we could have seen that coming if I had really took some time to think about it and not just jumped into it. Hey, we're going to do it. So, yeah, so we probably lost about, on the financial side, $150,000 on that whole thing. Now, thankfully, we're blessed so that And you lose money, you gain money. We're not hurting from it, but it is, I mean, it's $150,000.
That's a huge hit.
It's a big issue.
For sure.
That's a huge hit from a family perspective. And there were some, you know, situations where I put my children in unnecessary, potentially harmful situations. They never got harmed, but there were gunshots outside of my house. And very close to us. So, and you know, my daughter, one time we were, it was a morning of, they were shooting outside the house, and I saw her upstairs and she was putting her toys like in the window. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm protecting myself from the bullets. So this is like a serious thing, and that weighs on you as a leader. You know, me and my wife made this decision together, but ultimately I made that decision. So I think it was just a leadership issue with me. We ended up actually moving again to another house that got us out of that house. We're in the same neighborhood where we
got you. I was gonna say, like, so what kind of weapons do you have now?
Right. Yeah. Because
I'd like to give you some tips.
Yeah. Yeah. So honestly, I was threatened by my neighbor. I felt like threatened by my neighbor, and I did get a permit to carry, but I never followed through because of all the children in the house, I was always scared to bring a weapon in the house.
I guess.
So I haven't, you know, I have that license and that permit, but I don't have any weapons. So,
well,
but yeah,
if you decide to do that in the future, there's a solution to that. It's called a safe. And if one person knows the combo to that safe, then you'll be safe for the family. So,
right. Yeah. Okay. That's true. That's true.
As I was going to the bathroom, I was thinking about, you know, my time, as a plant manager in Louisville. And going through the Breonna Taylor case, and I had a lot of shootings going on with my employee base. I actually had one of my best guys, like one of my best leads. His son had been shot in the stomach, and he was kind of like keeping me up to date on how he was doing and all that kind of stuff. And in the Louisville area, the West End, the West Side of the city is known for that, right? Like where the cops don't go, where you know, there's a lot of crime, there's a lot of drugs, there's a lot of low income, there's a lot of, you know, houses that probably didn't get an appraisal because the appraiser didn't want to walk into the house and appraise it, right? So, you know, as I was thinking about that, it's definitely a different world. And if you haven't experienced it, it's definitely, I don't know, it's hard to describe and really tell the tale on it, but for you to make the decision to go there and do the work and be involved took a lot of cojones, man. So for that, I you know, my hat's off to you to do that. And then even, you know, lose some money in the process, right? Like your experience doing that is probably a very familiar experience for folks that are doing that in the area, you know? So it's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just thoughts of my
mind. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I was in a different mindset when I was in that area, because, yeah, like you said, this is just a different mindset. So I have empathy for people. When I heard those gunshots right outside my house, and I opened the door actually during the time. I don't recommend that. I opened the door.
Unless you got an AK.
Right. Yeah, I opened the door and they let off a couple more shots. And from that, I had a little bit of like, kind of, I don't want to say PTSD, but like from that point on, when I was walking the streets, like I'm not looking at your face anymore. I'm looking at your waist to see if you are a threat or not. So I started.
Yeah, where'd you come from? What are you doing around here? Yeah. Have I noticed you before? Yeah. What's that in the back of your car?
Right. Exactly. So you just come, I did become a little bit more paranoid, and I started to understand that there is a mindset shift to you, that you nice. Sometimes you need that to survive. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. ShamWow, dude. All right. Enough on that. Let's see. If you could give any kind of advice to aspiring entrepreneurs, what kind of advice would you give them? Because that was a big one for you so far in our conversation. Is like, you kind of go back to that as like, all right, this is like a fun pinnacle for me right now. Like, what would you tell people that are even contemplating that?
You have clarity on what you want. Like, if you have clarity on what your end goal is, don't wait. Whatever you have now, whatever resources you have now or time you have now, use whatever you have to get started and take the first step. As long as you have clarity on your end goal and that it is aligned to your values. If you have that alignment, don't wait. Because I think a lot of people, they want to wait. They want to get stuff perfect, or they want to have the next device or the next whatever, but you can make an impact with what you have right now.
Boom. ShamWow. Like it. All right. Let's see. Legacy. So, three more questions. This is one of them is, so what kind of legacy do you envision, in the next 10 years? Like, what do you want to now leave behind you? So you found this entrepreneurial thing. All right, I'm on a mission. When that mission's done, what would you like to see?
Right. I would like to see if people at my funeral, I would like people to say that I was a great leader. I would like people to say that I led my family well. Like, I did not neglect them for the pursuit of these other things. I didn't neglect my wife. I didn't neglect my children for these other ambitious pursuits in the marketplace and in the world. If I do what I'm supposed to do, my kids will be twice as far as I am in their 20s. Yeah.
ShamWow. That's good stuff. I need to make sure, and you need to make sure, and I'll help you with that you connect with Drexel King and do something with him, with some sort of collab, big families, similar values, you know, along with him and maybe Mike Stebbins one day. Those are a couple guys that come to mind with like where your mission is, what you're doing, entrepreneurship, big family, focused on the right things. Second to last question, what's your biggest struggle today? Something you're working through, maybe an opportunity, not a struggle.
Consistency and the things that matter. So
okay.
Family, my health, my faith and my business are things that, and my, you know, my side business are the things that I want to put, I'm in for the long haul. And the issue is with, like you said, with six children, big family, a lot of stuff just comes up in the day to day. But I want to make sure that I'm intentional with pouring into my family, pouring into my business, pouring into my faith, and pouring into my health consistently over the long run. So I'm just putting those processes in place, setting those boundaries, putting processes in place so that I am making actionable steps every day and every week towards those things.
I gotcha. You know, there's a lot of folks that when I get on here, they see similar things. And dude, I'm, you know, in the same boat with, you know, making sure that I got all the, you know, the principles of the values covered, right? Versus the other things. And one thing that just really pisses me off, and I'm sorry, I'm going to vent here a little bit, okay, is how so many companies and so many services and so many customer service outlets have now turned over the customer service onto the individual. Therefore, you lose all this time, you know, versus now versus 10 years ago. 10 years ago, you didn't have to worry about it. And then now you have to worry about all these types of, well, did you call the 800 number? Okay. I got an automator. Okay. The automator took me to this number. And then now I have to waste all this time with this. So it's like, what the heck? I think there's a piece of that there. I know there is, obviously. Like, I would pay more to talk to a human,
right,
versus going through the whole thing. So,
yeah,
just a little venting, but, man, stay the course. You're on the right track. I like what you're doing. You know, looking at your YouTube and stuff, it was really fun. You know, obviously, like, I like the music. I like the creating and all that kind of stuff. So I'm on the same wavelength, but I just wanted to get that out there.
I hear you. That's the reason I go to Chick-fil-A and not other restaurants. Yeah. That service. And that.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, Awesome Nookie, Chick-fil-A, episode number 2.
Okay.
Well, he runs a Chick-fil-A in Louisiana.
So. Oh, really? Nice. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's what he's doing nowadays. I think y'all are in the same huddle at one point in your careers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. 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 Good stuff. Yep. Last question. What's your price of admission?
Yep. We already touched on it a little bit earlier, but I'm going to say I paid a price for not keeping the end in mind, having clarity on what I want to do or what I want to see happen and the outcomes I want to see. So that you asked that question earlier about what was that mistake. And I did a lot. I lost a lot of time and energy with these repairs of this house because I did not keep the end in mind, along with some other things. If I would have had some good, like you mentioned, mentorship, if I would have sought some mentorship about that decision or more mentorship or more experienced mentorship about that decision, I could have probably, avoided that as well. But really it's just keeping I'm just going to say keeping the end in mind. I don't want to go fast in the wrong direction. Or I don't want to execute something efficiently and quickly, but I'm just headed in the wrong, you know what I'm saying? I'm just headed in the wrong direction. I want to be aligned, my passion and my values and what I want to see. I want to have that all be aligned. So.
I got you. Everything I've, read about you, looked at on YouTube so far, like values and passion, they're all, I think headed in the right direction. That whole house thing, like that just, man, it sucks. You know, it's one of those things, it's like, man, it really sucks. So, hope for the best for you. And, I think the heart was there in that one. Just kind of sucked, like I said. And I would like you to tell Shamika, thank you for your time tonight. Cause I know she's probably, paying the price right now for you, with those 6 kids and making sure everybody's settled and get dinner done and all that kind of stuff. Anything else
that's a good point. Yeah.
Go ahead.
A couple of things, just comment on what you said, and that in regards to the house, my heart was in the right direction, but then I found out like that's not enough sometimes. It's not enough to have the heart in the right direction. So yeah. I learned that. And so I experienced suffering, and my family experienced suffering, not for a lack of heart, but for a lack of judgment and a lack of just going too fast, trying to get somewhere too fast. So I learned that, and I don't want to make that decision again, because my decisions impact, as a leader, impact everybody within my influence. So, and then I want to say, like you said, Shamika, I probably didn't talk about her a lot. I didn't talk about her enough. She is, like you said, my partner. That music video, strong.
Yeah.
She is on the chorus.
She can sing. She sings
the chorus. Yes, she can. She can sing. Yeah. Yep. Thank you. I'll let her know that you said that. Oh, she'll watch the video too, if this makes the cut. But so she had been my partner the whole time. We've been married 12 years. And like you said, she is down there watching the 6 kids. You haven't heard any of the kids coming in here. So she is doing her part. And we build each other up. So yeah, definitely a big shout out to her.
That's awesome. It's a good relationship right there, man. A couple things that to promote here is you have a bi-weekly newsletter, right? That you send out? Yep.
And yeah, I'm starting a bi-weekly. Yep. Go ahead.
And to get to that is at andrebyrd.ck.page/profile. Sound accurate?
Yes. Yes, that's the that is the landing page. If you get to that page, you can put in your email address and you'll get my biweekly blogs and email newsletters talking all topics, leadership, family and faith, and personal development. So, yeah.
Awesome. And then your YouTube channel, obviously, like I got there, you could probably just go to Google and type Andre Byrd, B-Y-R-D, YouTube and get there. But yeah, I'll throw both those links inside the description on this episode release. So sound good?
Yep. Appreciate that. Appreciate it.
Cool, man. Awesome talk. Really appreciate you. Like I said, I had a lot of fun with this one. I you know, a huge supporter of what you're doing. Keep on doing it.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me on, and I support what you're doing. You do how many episodes do you have now?
Like, so you will be 80, I think 84.
I read a statistic this morning, like 90% of podcasts don't get past the third episode. I don't know if you've seen that statistic.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of stubborn, so I just sometimes I put my head down and do the whole grind thing, which is also a bit of a weakness. But got lucky.
That's just something I you know, as a fellow creator and YouTuber, that's something I aspire to do. That consistency, that's really cool to see, and I look forward to all your videos in the future. So definitely appreciate you,
man. Good time. Stay the course.
Same.